Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Revenge, as someone once wrote, is a dish best served cold, but when you see a good old slice of revenge served up on the big screen, there is nothing more exciting and satisfying. Give me double helpings, please, with a side order of murder and mayhem as we prepare to count down our top 10 revenge movies. Firstly, here's 10 revenge movie facts. Oh, that was a bit loud. Sorry about that. Okay, number one, in John Wick, according to Keanu Reeves, he did 90% of all the stunt work himself.
Now, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
In Kill Bill, the shot where the bride splits a baseball in two with a samurai sword was done for real on the set. It was done by Zoe B, Uma Thurman's stunt double. In Unforgiven, the scenes with Little Bill kicking English Bob around on the floor were in fact real. Richard Harris wore padding under his clothes, as did Clint Eastwood, for the fights, as faking someone being kicked around would be impossible.
Oh, bugger.
I was doing so well.
I'm here to kill you, Little Bill.
In Memento, many of Leonard's unique voiceovers were improvised by Guy Pearce.
No, he's chasing me.
In The Crow, originally Fun Boy, played by Michael Massey, was not supposed to fire the gun at Brandon Lee's character, which ultimately led to Lee's death. It was changed at the last minute by the director.
Why don't you tell me a story?
Choi Min-sik, the star of Old Boy, is a Buddhist and had to pray after eating the octopi in the infamous scene. Leon, the professional, was Natalie Portman's motion picture debut. She was 11 years old when she was cast.
Aim for the heart and lungs.
In Dead Man's Shoes, Richard wears a Cold War-era Russian GP5 gas mask without its filter in some sequences in the film.
You're fucking there, mate.
Desperado cost $7 million to make, 1,000 times the amount of money Robert Rodriguez spent to make El Mariachi.
I'm just looking for work.
And number 10, the special effects in RoboCop were generated with a Commodore Amiga computer. Ah, the good old days.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yes, and so would I. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here to do revenge movies. I'll let the music play out, why not? And we've just talking before we started recording that we can't believe it's been well over a year before we had our guest back here. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome once again, Lucy is here. She's back. She's been all Disney-fied. Look, we normally, whenever we have you on, Lucy, it's normally the dark side of cinema is when you've been here, isn't it? It's been like murder and mayhem. One is kind of is in your wheelhouse, revenge movies.
Yeah, I have got a track record of talking about death and destruction and villains and stuff like that. But I do think revenge lends itself to a variety of genres. So I'll be interested to see what pops up.
It is. Whenever we do ones like this, the way I set my list out is I write the ones off the top of my head and then I'll go onto IMDb or something like that and look for the top 100 of that particular, because there'll all be ones that I think, of course, that one is that particular genre. And I ended up with like a list of like 40 or 50 because there are so many. But I love a revenge movie. I absolutely love the fact you've got somebody that has maybe been torn down or damaged at the start and then just goes and just goes to kill everyone. And I don't know whether it's a dark slice in me, but I just, I can remember in my younger days when I used to go paintballing, I would watch like Rambo First Blood Part 2 the night before to get myself psyched up because I was going to go out on the rampage. And so how did you come to your top 10?
Oh, with great difficulty. A little bit like you, I sort of read a bunch of articles like and read what other people thought about what even constitutes a revenge movie. Because I have a few, you know me, I've got a few off-the-wall selections that I've got that I was like, that is actually a revenge movie, yeah. So, you know, you think it's just really hard to, like, pinpoint it down. Because something like, I don't know, like top 10 horrors, you know, that's very just... I don't want to say narrow because it can be in a subgenre, but revenge is such a big term and it can encompass so many different things.
I completely agree. There was so
like I
there.
Say, whether it's comical or scary or whatever, it could be anything.
Yeah. You could look at any movie and probably see a little bit of revenge in any storyline, to be fair.
Pretty much. I think it's a big motivator for a lot of characters.
I think it's a massive motivator for a lot of characters.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be interesting just in the fact that, I mean, I think the ones that I've, yeah, well, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil the bits that I've got, but I think it's going to be, I mean, with your sort of horror background, do a lot of your entries have like a bit of a horror tinge to them, or?
Yes. So without giving anything away, none of mine are like funny. All of mine are quite bleak.
Okay. Okay.
Or at the very least, quite violent. I'll say.
I would go exactly the same with me. I was trying to think of like, apart from like Revenge of the Nerds, which the clue's in the title of the movie, there aren't that many revenge movies that are comedies as such, I don't think. I mean,
no, I mean, funny elements maybe, but
yeah,
like.
Yeah. Mm. Well, here we go. And I'm just interested and intrigued to see what is in there. And your top 10 and how many we have that's a crossover, like how many we have the same. So why don't you kick us off with your number 10?
Yeah, sure. So my number 10 is The Equalizer.
That's my number three.
Oh,
that's
okay.
My number three.
It's not the kind of film people usually associate with me, but I do think it's a good action flick. It's a lot of fun, you know. It's a popcorn one, surround sound, Denzel Washington, it's brilliant, you know. It's peak revenge film, really.
It's the kind of, I was, when that first got announced, I think, is it Antoine Fuqua that's the director, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
It really surprised me because, I mean, you're probably too young to remember the TV series with Edward Woodward, aren't you?
I'm vaguely aware of it, yes.
Yeah. So it was kind of cheesy-ish, you know. It was the same, like not equalizing it, sorry for the pun, for the A-Team or something like that, but it was a very 80s TV show kind of fare. So when they announced that like Antoine Fuqua and Denzel Washington are doing like a remake of it, I thought, oh my god, this is going to be awful. But Denzel Washington, as you would have heard in my top 10 living actors, is my number one actor. He's my favorite actor. And he absolutely is fantastic in this movie because you want him to be the person that is, he just is indestructible, but not in a not in a Rambo, John McClane in Die Hard 4 and 5 kind of way. Do you know what I mean? You know that he's got these suppressed not feelings, is it? It's like abilities that he doesn't want to use again. But they get dragged out of him. And I just love the fact that he has no emotion on his face when he's killing people. There's no effort to it, but there's no empathy there with the person that he will look in their eyes while their life just like withers, or he explain to them what is happening. You know, you're losing a lot of blood, so your heart is pumping and sooner or later you're going to die, you know, for a measly $1,300 or whatever it was.
I love that clinical delivery of lines. It's just the most chilling thing. It's great.
Yeah. And the fact that he mathematically works out, that's the bit I love. He's like, right, I'm going to get him first. There's a corkscrew over there. I can get him. It's going to take me 50 seconds. So then he taps his watch and then he's disappointed. You can see he's almost disappointed when he's gone slightly over or whatever. But yeah. Have you seen the other two in the trilogy?
I haven't. I tend to avoid sequels because I'm a bit of a purist. Are they any good?
The second one is really good, and it's got one particular scene in it that it stops me from watching the film because it is so uncomfortable. Pedro Pascal is in it, and he's a baddie. And we may spoil movies tonight, so I'm not going to worry about spoilers or whatever. And I can never remember the actress's name. So in the original Equalizer, you have Bill. He goes to see Bill Pullman, doesn't he, and his wife.
Yeah.
She was in Red State, the Kevin Smith film, and her name is. Are you going to tell me, Lucy?
You put me on the spot there.
I just thought you might have been IMDb in it. Saved me a job. But she's in the second one because she works for the government.
Okay.
But. Pedro Pascal goes to and kills her, but she's sat there. You know, I don't think she's sort of all battered and bruised, and he just gets a flick knife out and puts it to her chest and just flicks it, and it's just like the coldest thing. And he's got his hand over her mouth, I think, or something. And it just even now it makes me shudder just thinking about it because it's just so cold and calculated and totally sort of unemotional. That it is, I mean, like I say, it stops me from watching the second one. Third one I haven't seen yet because I'm waiting for it to go on. So I missed it at the cinema, but it's just Denzel Washington. He's just great. You know, he's great at everything, but so good at that. Yeah. I would recommend watching number two. I really would.
Okay, yeah, I will do. I mean, like I don't know, I have this bad habit of just putting off sequels and then I watch them and I'm like, actually, they're quite good.
Yeah, yeah. And from what I've heard about Equalizer 3, the quality doesn't drop.
That's good.
It's, you know, it's just as good as the other two. So, I need to get and watch it, really. That's a good one to start. So there you go. First one down, we've already got one of the same in the top 10.
It's going to happen.
Oh, it's going to happen a lot. It's going to happen a lot. Okay, my number 10, I'm going for Braveheart.
Oh, interesting choice, yeah.
Again, it's I was going to say it's a historical movie, but I mean, it's Hollywood history, isn't it? It's not particularly accurate to what happened in those times. But everything stems in that movie from the fact that the English kill William Wallace's love, you know. Again, another really cold moment where they just slit her throat, you know, and then but at that moment then you are totally with William Wallace and you don't care what he does to the you want him to go on this rampage that is he's just gonna fuck everybody up, you know. You don't care how gruesome it is, you just have that thing in mind that he's been wronged. You want to make sure that he gets his, although I suppose he doesn't really get his revenge in the end, does he? Because he ends up dying. But I suppose then Scotland becomes free and he gets what he wants as such. But
he tried.
yeah. So I'm assuming you've seen this one.
I have seen it. It's been many, many years since I saw it. I didn't even think to put it on the list. I mean, it's a good choice. But I do remember enjoying it. I mean, it's a very iconic film.
Got a lot of iconic moments, iconic moments in it. But where do you stand on like Mel Gibson? Because I know that he's had a lot of like personal issues and that it's that whole story of can you separate the person from the art, kind of thing. I mean, I love Mel Gibson. I think he's a great director. He's a great actor. He always gives 100%, even if the movie might not be particularly good. But I know a lot of people that will not watch Mel Gibson films now because of the different kinds of things that he's got up to and things that he's said. Where do you stand on that?
I wouldn't say I'm like his biggest fan anyway, to be honest. Like, I mean, it's not the kind of director that I'd gravitate towards, but like, I don't think I would not watch a film if I thought it was good or whatever. It's one of those complicated things, you know, like if it's got a good cast or whatever. I'm a bit indifferent because I'm not like clued up on him massively.
Right.
like, it's one of those situations where it's kind of like, it's not a director that really comes into my day-to-day viewing.
I think so, it's a generational
thing as well. I'm on the fence.
Yeah, I think it's a generational thing, because obviously he was massive in the 80s, which is when I was growing up. And I love Lethal Weapon and, you know, those kind of films. So I think it might be, I mean, you're a lot younger than me. So it's kind of, I think it's a generational thing. Okay, then.
It's interesting.
Yeah, okay then, Lucy, you're number nine.
Number nine, ironically, it's a film called Revenge. It is a French film. It's very good.
Okay, tell me about it, because I don't know.
I will. Revenge is, it's a 2017 French revenge action film. And it's basically about a woman who, it's quite dark. She's sexually assaulted and left for dead in the desert, basically. And then she goes on a rampage and gets revenge on the perpetrators. So it's very like I Spit on Your Grave kind of level, but not quite as extreme. But it was very critically acclaimed by how they handled such a difficult topic. And it was one I believe may have been at Fright Fest or one of the sort of more, you know, genre specific festivals. I think I saw it on Shudder, I think. But it's very, very good, very gory.
Is it very gory, is it?
It's very gory. And I quite like French drama and that kind of stuff. So it was, and it's got like, I'm just checking the cast list. It's got 1, 2, 3. It's got 5 cast members in it.
Oh, right.
So it's a very, very small, you know, contained kind of film. It's good.
Mm. Neil always swears by things like French horror and French thriller and that, because he thinks it's a different level.
Mm. It is. I mean, I fully appreciate like films like this are very difficult for a lot of people. I can understand, you know, obviously people just don't want to watch that kind of. But I do think it has an incredibly strong, empowering female lead, which is very important, and she fucks people up, and it's great. So I think it's the satisfaction for the viewer of her getting her revenge and, you know, telling these, you know, well, killing these people, you know. And I think it's very kind of raises a lot of questions around like morality and your moral compass and that kind of thing. So I love a film like that.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? The like the human condition about. Mm-hmm. How humans love getting scared, you know, horror films or going on scary rides or things like that. And people love seeing, I think, other people get revenge. I know, is it because it's a movie and you know in part of your mind that it isn't real? But it's weird. I mean, we both said the same things, that we love revenge movies because we love seeing that person that has been wronged getting their own back, you know, and being successful in like literally killing everybody that has wronged them.
Yeah, I think it is the human condition. I think you're right. And I think obviously because we live in a state that is lawful, we kind of want to ignore that for a bit and think, what happens if you could just go and do that? Do you know what I mean? And like, as far as we're aware, that's consequence free because we don't see what happens with the police. That's not really covered. It's just this person going and doing it. And you're like, good for you. You know, like it's sort of. It does raise a lot of interesting questions, which is why I like films like this, because it's sort of it's one to debate with your friends and think, right, how do you feel about this, you know?
Yeah. So if The Purge was real and you were able to go and do whatever you wanted, what would you do?
Shoplift.
What would you shoplift?
Anything that I couldn't afford reasonably. So like go down Oxford Street and like go down all the designer stores and just get all these like bags that cost like 10 grand or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Because then I'll have this stash and I'll just be really cool.
So you'd be basically doing a supermarket sweep is what you'd be doing.
Uh-huh. In like Chanel or something.
for like really expensive bags.
Yeah.
So I mean, look, I mean, that says a lot about you. I think you're not going off on a murderous rampage.
I can't be bothered.
Yes, but you're going to go for some like Louis Vuitton, whatever it's called, bags.
I mean, I'll never earn enough to like buy them myself, so, you know.
Well, Oxford Street, better watch out if they do bring the Purge in then.
Yeah, I'm getting a sledgehammer.
Yeah, fair play. Okay, my number nine, I'm going for one of Chris Nolan's greatest movies, and that's Memento.
I thought you were going to say that, yeah.
I can remember the first time I watched it, and I don't know if anybody else has had this experience with this movie. I didn't really know what the movie was about. I think my brother said, you got to watch this movie. It is great. So I remember watching it, and I think it took me half an hour or so to realize like what was happening. So you'd watch a scene, the next scene then wouldn't make any sense until you realize that actually that scene should have been before the scene you've just watched. And once you got into the rhythm of it, I thought, this is genius. And then you'd start trying a second get, and it obviously makes sense when you realize that's what it is, but it was so cleverly done. It was so cleverly done. And I thought Guy Pearce was fantastic. And Joey Pantolino was great. It was so clever. And I think it was the trouble with, I think, Chris Nolan movies now is he tries to be, what was it? Tenet was just trying to be too clever.
Yeah, I haven't seen Tenet yet. I've heard very mixed things about it.
Yeah, I mean, apart from the sound mix, which apparently seems to be the thing that was ridiculous. You couldn't hear. I mean, I think somebody has said that Oppenheimer is the same as well. It's kind of got bits in it that you can't quite hear what they're saying. But the thing was, it was obviously, I didn't know anything about Chris Nolan at that point, but in that movie, in Memento, and then when you got the DVD, if you unlocked it, you could get it playing in the right way. So it played from the back to the front, and it was very, very clever. I mean, that's, again, kids look up DVDs and DVD extras because you don't get those kind of things anymore. But it's such a good movie, and I haven't seen the movie for a long, long time, so I really need to sort of crack that one out again and watch it. Fan?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I do genuinely love Nolan's work, mostly his early work.
Yeah.
So obviously Memento's in there, you know, Inception, the Dark Knight trilogy I thought was great. Does like his vengeance, does he?
He does.
Chris Nolan.
He does, yeah.
But yeah, I remember Memento, yes, it's a very confusing film. I mean, he likes to confuse people.
He does. He does.
I do remember enjoying it, though, yeah.
It is a trait of his that when he does it well, it works really, really well. When he does it like in Tenet, I think it's almost like he's saying to the crowd, you know, to the audience, I'm cleverer than you are.
Yeah.
It's not my fault that you're thick and you're not understanding this. And that's how I felt when I watched the film at the cinema. But that might have been because we were also just coming out of COVID and everything was confusing at that point. It might have been just
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Inception was an interesting one because, I mean, that ending, I've never really forgiven him for that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, what do you think? Do you think it's real or do you think it's not?
You know what? I kind of got to the point where I thought I'm not going to think about it because it really will piss me off.
It pisses me off.
Yeah, because it's like that kind of thing. I think it's gone on a bit of a gradient with him in regards to him being a smart ass. I think that was where it really started, was with that final scene or the final 10 seconds of that movie, maybe even the final second.
Sort of rattled.
Yeah. And then that's the bit where he's going, yeah, I'm really clever. So I'm going to really fuck with my audience now on every movie after this. And he's kind of done that, you know, with bigger and bigger things. I need to watch it. I need to watch Memento again, but it made it in my top 10. Okay.
Yeah, I can see why.
You're number 8, please, then, Lucy.
Number 8 is a film called Hard Candy.
Oh, yes.
Which is a very dark, I'm going to give people a heads up. Have you seen this?
I have seen it a long time ago, but I have seen it, yes.
So this stars Patrick Wilson and Elliot Page. It's about a 14-year-old vigilante who basically suspects a man of being a sexual predator and traps and tortures him. And it's, very, very intense.
Very intense.
And the thing about this film is, I mean, you know what happens, like, you can't really say much because people need to experience it.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's fair to
say. I would rather people, because I think when I first watched it, I was quite blindsided and shocked by a lot of what happened. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's one or two infamous scenes in that movie that I think you're right. I think you don't really want to discuss them because you don't want. You don't want that feeling of going through those scenes to be ruined by somebody that hasn't seen that movie.
yeah,
I totally agree. But it is a hard hitting movie. It is not for the faint hearted, I would say.
And I think this one is a great one when we're just looking at things like vigilante justice and taking, you know, stuff into your own hands, especially at a young age, and, you know, with what is obviously a very controversial and very awful topic. It's,
yeah,
it's done very well, though. I think it's not an easy watch, but it's very good.
Patrick Wilson's one of the, he's a great actor. Oh, he's great. He crops brilliant. Up in so many things, but he's just one of those solid, you know, what do we call him? Like 27% or whatever it is. Like whenever he's in a movie, he makes it 27% better than it would have been if he wasn't there, because he's just one of those top solid. And what was the movie that I saw him in? Oh God. Called Limo or something like that. Yeah. He was great in it. It was I can't remember what it was. Hang on, I got to try and find it, because it was such a good film, but it just went under everybody's radar. It had the guy, why am I forgetting everybody's name? Who was the guy that played Kirk in the new Star Trek movies?
Why have you done this?
I'm sorry.
I can see his face.
We're all just like, oh my God, this is so bad. I apologize to everybody listening.
This is just the worst research in ever.
Chris
Pine?
Chris Pine! Chris Pine is in it as well. So
there we go.
And Ed Helms is in it. And it was all about, he was a limo driver, but he had so much bad luck. And I don't know, it's not even a revenge movie. So I don't even know why I'm talking about it. But it was a good movie. If you know it, I'll shut the fuck up now, because it's just ridiculous. Okay, let me do my number 8. I may cut all that out, because that was totally ridiculous.
No, it's fine. You just wing it.
Oh, God. Okay, my number 8. Now, this one should probably be higher. I'm looking at my top 10. It should be higher. But it's Leon, or The Professional, if you want to call it. This is one of those movies that I class as a perfect movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's got so much heart and so much emotion. But Natalie Portman, I can't believe what I said on the facts that she was only 11 when she was cast in that movie. And Jean Reno as Leon, Gary Oldman as one of the greatest bad guys in the movie, totally fucking deranged.
Yeah.
And just it's a good sort of action movie, but as a revenge movie, it's dark in places. It's uplifting in places. I think the fact that, like, Jean Reno as Leon is basically a child, you know, it's just such a good film.
Hmm.
Not in your top 10?
No, it's on my kind of honorable mentions. It was right. It was on the long list. it's brilliant. I mean, again, it's French thriller again. You know, I think they're very good at doing this kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
but more of a mainstream sort of Hollywood film as well, you know.
Mm.
But yeah, I would thoroughly recommend anybody that hasn't seen it to watch it. It's just one of the great movies of the 90s. Okay, for you, number 7 then, please, Lucy.
Number 7 is Kill Bill Volume 1. It had to come here eventually.
Okay.
Yeah. It's my favourite of the two volumes, but...
Right, so why is it your favourite of the two?
I like the Lucy Liu scene.
Right, okay.
Well, every Lucy Liu scene ever, basically.
Oh, right, okay.
In that scene. I think her character's brilliant. She's my favourite. She's just sadistic.
Yeah.
I love the bit where she's having the business meeting with everybody, and then the guy challenges her, and then she literally just cuts his head off, and then she's like shouting at them, brandishing his head.
Yeah.
It's just so good. It's just such good, just violent. Uma Thurman's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's got the, you know, it's the introduction of the iconic, like, biker, like, you know, get up, which has got on. It's just great, you know? And it's one of those things where, like, obviously she's getting revenge on the rest of the assassin group, but I like the people she's going after as well, just because of how strong their characters are. So, like, obviously Lucy Liu's character and, oh, so good. And the whistle moment, just everything. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I mean, I may talk about this a little bit more later on. Just for a little spoiler. But it's interesting because a lot of people that I know that love Tarantino or love Kill Bill seem to like the second one more than the first. Mm. The more of the western-y kind of feel to it. And but the first one, where you've got the whole anime bit in it as well. Just so many iconic moments.
It's so hard to just pinpoint them all down because you just like, it's just so good.
yeah, and that there isn't that it. I went to the cinema to watch it, and within the first the first scene where it's black and white, and you see the bloodied bride, and she gets shot in the head.
So good.
I thought to myself, I've got no idea what's going to happen now. Because I was literally on the edge of my seat for the whole of the movie because I thought, what the fuck is going to happen now? If they've just blown her brains out in the first scene of the movie, Jesus, it's like, and it's just, it is classic Tarantino because he has that ability to keep you on the edge of your seat because you don't know what's around the corner or you don't know what's just off screen that is going to kill somebody or is going to stab them or something is going to happen because you don't know. And that's the thing with Tarantino. It's just, you're one step away from bedlam with Tarantino.
Yeah.
You just always are.
It's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
That should be Quentin. If you're listening, that should be the name of your autobiography. One step away from bedlam. There you go. You can have that for free. Okay. My number seven, I'm going with another Chris Nolan movie and I'm going for The Prestige.
Oh yes, I like this film.
Mm. Now this has got probably one of the longest revenge moves like ever seen in a movie. But Christian Bale is great, and Hugh Jackman is great. And one of the other things about this movie is the fact that when it comes to the end of the movie, you feel that Hugh Jackman is the bad guy.
Mm.
But going through the movie, I think the way that Chris Nolan does it and has written it and has directed it, you feel sorry for him. So you think he's the guy that has been wronged, and Christian Bale is the bad guy, and it flicks all the way through. But when it comes to the moment where Michael Caine is telling you about the trick, and you got these parts, different parts of a trick, and it's going through, and all of a sudden the penny is dropping on these certain things, it's a classic bit of cinema. That all of a sudden you think, Jesus, right, of course that's happened and that's because of that. And it's just been a long game. It's just been a long game that Christian Bale's character has played with a lot of things that he's had to lose, a lot of sacrifices that he's had to take, and the people that he loves doesn't understand why one day, you know, you love me and the next day you don't even want to talk to me. And again, it's kind of, you're saying we don't want to do any spoilers, but if you've not seen The Prestige, watch it, because there are so many bits in it, and then bits at the end that you'll think, of course, that makes sense. It's such a good movie.
Yeah, I don't think we can fully do it justice, really. But no. It is one of my favourite like motifs of like showmen arguing with each other, especially magicians. There's just something about magicians fighting over, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I can't explain it. Like, there's a brilliant Inside Number 9 episode called Misdirection, which does the same thing.
Oh, really?
Basically, but like a stolen trick kind of thing. Obviously, well, not the same, but like it's a very similar concept of magician steals someone's trick and then he gets avenged and whatever. Really cool. I like it.
Yeah, really?
It's just, I just like kind of industry secrets and like how far people would go to like expose them and whatever. And there's just something about it. It's very tasty.
Because it is like when you watch it, you do see a couple of tricks and you think, oh, well, that's how they do it.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a cameo by David Bowie, who's Tesla, mm-hmm. in it as well, which is Andy Serkis, I think, is in it as well. It's a great film, and it genuinely is one of those intriguing films that has a lot going on in it, and it sometimes might need two takes to watch it to sort of fully understand it, you know. But again, it's Chris Nolan being a smart ass as well, so
yeah,
you know, you've got to have that, give that to him. Okay then, Lucy, your number six, please.
My number six is Gone Girl.
Okay.
Yeah, because in a sense, it is a bit of a revenge film. Mm-hmm. It's a very brilliant case study into how to manipulate the media and how to get what you want and play the long game, you know? And I just think it's one of Rosamund Pike's most iconic performances. She terrifies me in this. Like just what the you've seen it, right?
I have, again, a long time ago.
Just like the length she will go to sort of, you know, punish her husband for wronging her, essentially. Very extreme lengths. I mean, again, if you haven't seen it, it's one of Fincher's best. It's brilliant. It's so good.
Have you seen the Netflix documentary called America? Is it American Nightmare?
No, but I need to. It's like on my watch list. It's been there for ages. Yeah.
My wife devours those kind of things, you know, and she just started watching it, and I sat, and normally I'll sit down and I'll have my arms crossed because, like, oh, here we go again with another bloody Vera type bloody sort of you know, criminal thing, and it just dragged me in. And it was like every time a new person got in there, you thought, that bastard's the one that's caused all this, and then somebody else would go, that bastard's the one that's, and it, like, every so often it would change, and it would change your mind every time, and it is a crazy thing, but it's very they do say that this is, I think she was called like the Gone Girl.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I've heard this mentioned at work, like everyone was calling it the Gone Girl of, like, Netflix crime drama, crime documentaries. I was like, whoa.
It is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I would recommend that as well. Add that to your list. But that's a good one. Yeah, Gone Girl. Ben Affleck, really good in that as well.
Yeah, he is. It's just so good. It's just, like I say, the media scrutiny, how you can go from having everything to having literally nothing. It's so good. It's
and manipulating, so good. Like you say, manipulating the press and manipulating everyone around you and that. Yeah. Very good. Okay, my number six, again, this is going to be controversial, that it should be a bit higher, but I'm going to go for Old Boy. Now, I think I may have said this before on the podcast, but I have had not very many times where I have literally been gobsmacked and shocked while watching a movie. And this was a movie that Neil told me for years. He said, watch Old Boy. You've got to watch Old Boy. Every time we talk about movies, have you seen Old Boy yet? No, I haven't. So what I was, my old job that I had where I was working shifts, I was working a night shift, or I think I'll be afternoon shift. So I had the morning. So I had it on my iPad, and I was sat at the dining table, and I was watching it while I was having my dinner. And again, I've said I wasn't going to spoil anything, but I don't want to spoil this, because if you haven't seen it.
Oh, no.
The moment in this movie that the twist happens, I literally stood up with my hands over my mouth, because I've never had that on any other movie in my life ever. And even now, thinking about it, I thought, Jesus, it was like, sometimes when you look back on a movie, you think, oh, I can see where that was going to go, and I can see where that twist was. You know, you start looking for the formula, you know? But that movie, I mean, apart from the fact it's got one of the greatest fight scenes in a movie, with the corridor scene with the hammer.
Oh, yeah.
It's just fantastic. And then the where he's eating a live octopus, it's just fucking crazy as well. And then for our Patreon subscribers, I'll put a couple of those clips in the video playlist for this episode.
Yeah.
It's just a great movie. It's just got everything, you know, but with a killer twist.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, a bit like you, I had a mate who was like, because I was really getting into like K-dramas and stuff, and my friend was like, you need to watch some Korean films. So obviously this was like high on the list. Sat down and watched it. I texted them like, what the fuck did you just make me watch? what was that? But like in a good way.
Yeah.
Because I was just stunned. And I think Choi Min-sik, if he didn't have therapy after that, bless him, the stuff he's been through in that film, ridiculous.
Just crazy. And then
I don't even want to say what happens. I'm just like, oh my god, like, I just can't do it.
But what got me is when Spike Lee did the remake, the twist was pretty much in the trailer.
Really? I have not touched the remake, honestly. I don't want to do it.
Because I was the same as you, and I thought, oh, well, let's just look at the trailer. And I'm sure that they mentioned something kind of like the twist in the trailer, and I thought, well, fuck you. What the hell? What are you doing? It didn't make any sense at all. But yeah, another one, everyone, to add to your list. If you've not seen Old Boy, then go and watch it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Right, we're halfway through, so it's time for this.
Pop quiz, hotshot.
Okay. Now, what I've got is I've got the taglines for the posters of some revenge movies.
Okay,
so I'm going to give you the tagline. You need to tell me what the movie is.
Okay? Oh, Jesus Christ, okay. Good
now,
luck.
in these where we've had just one person doing it, I think 60%, 6 out of 10 is the best we've had so far. We might have had a 7 out of 10, but around 60% I think is a really good score. So.
Well, that's not going to happen, but okay.
Well, you never know. But remember, they're all revenge movies, okay?
Yep.
So here we go. Here's number one. The time for revenge has come.
Could be anything.
I just reading it now, maybe it seems just quite sort of high.
Time for revenge has come. I don't even know. I don't know. I'm gonna pass that one.
Do you not have just think of one and just think of it and just guess when you might as well. You might as well. You never know.
I'm just gonna say something stupid like Rambo. Probably not. No.
It was Taken.
Oh, come on.
It was Taken.
It couldn't be anything.
So to be fair, whoever was doing the publicity for that needs to be shot because he.
It could be anything.
It could have been, literally, it could have been anything, you know? Surely it should have been, I will find you and I will kill you. It should have been something like that.
Yeah,
that's what he says
or something
on the
to
phone.
Do with phones or something.
Yeah. Okay, number two, Freedom Forever.
Ooh. Is that Braveheart? No,
that was V for Vendetta.
Yes, that makes sense.
Okay, number three, the maximum force of the future.
Ooh, I don't know. Oh, this is really hard. I'm trying to think sensibly, like what's got force. Yeah,
so the maximum force of the future.
Mm. I don't
maximum
even know.
Force.
Max, Mad Max.
Yes, Mad Max.
My brain just went, oh my God, yes.
Okay, you're on the board. That's good. Okay. Yeah, number four, some memories are best forgotten. There you go. Now she's on a roll. She's on a roll now. Yeah,
I'm
okay.
Back. I'm
You're back.
Back.
Okay. Number five. Never forget. Sorry, let me start again. Never forget. Never forgive.
Never forget. Never forgive. Memories. Oh, it's really hard to think. Oh, it's always obvious when you tell me what it is as well. I don't know.
No?
No.
No, it was... it was Sweeney Todd.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Number six, Revenge Never Looked So Promising.
Promising Young Woman?
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. Number seven, All It Takes Is a Little Confidence.
Oh, All It Takes Is a Little Confidence.
Now, I'll give you a little bit of a clue.
I'm doing so well.
It's an older film. We're looking at 60s, 70s, something like that.
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know this one.
Pat. No. It was The Sting.
The Sting.
The Sting. Number eight, Vigilante City Style.
Sin City? Is that too obvious?
Yes, no, it is. Yeah. It was Death Wish.
Death Wish.
Death Wish. Number nine, The Power Behind the Throne.
Okay, so something regal. Oh, what could that be? Can I have a clue for this one?
You can. It's a comedy.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Yeah. Oh. So it is a revenge comedy.
Right, okay.
Which had a very famous song to go with it as well.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
No. It was 9 to 5.
Oh, right, yeah. I haven't seen this. I am familiar with it. My musical-loving part, I will be shaking his head.
Yeah. And the final one is Believe in Angels.
Oh, I think I know what this is. I can see the poster and I've blanked on the title. It's very helpful. Oh, what is it? I can see it. Shit.
Come on, you can do it. Come on.
I'm trying. I've got like all my brain cells going. Come on, come on, come on. No, tell me because I know what it is.
It is The Crow.
God damn it, yes. I can see it.
That was, I will say, I think that's the toughest. That's the toughest one quiz we've had. Man. There was some really, I mean, the time for revenge has come.
That's stupid.
Taken. You need to go and hang your head in shame with that one. That was ridiculous. I mean, again, you know. I'm the one that's put it on the quiz, so I'm ridiculous. So I apologise, Lucy, for that.
Oh, no, no, no. You know what? You know what? I'll be an optimist. At least it wasn't zero. That's great.
No, and you know? Again, three, you got 30%. I mean,
that's fine.
That's well and good. It's okay, fine. Right, we're back to the main gist of the podcast. So give us your number five revenge movie then, please, Lucy.
Number five is John Wick. Had to be on here.
That's my number four.
Yeah, yeah.
Has to be.
Oh, it just has to be. It's Keanu Reeves. I mean, you think Keanu Reeves, you think The Matrix, you think John Wick, basically. Iconic.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the ones where I love the fact that it is everybody is going to die.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter who's in front of him and it doesn't matter how far it has to go. Everybody is going to die because that dog died. And as soon as the dog dies, everybody is in his corner. It doesn't matter what football team John Wick supports, what religion he is. As soon as the dog dies, everybody is behind him, and that's it. That's all that matters.
It's so funny because, like, there's a website called Does the Dog Die, which does obviously, like, you know, you can Google beforehand. And in the case of John Wick, it's like that is the sole motivating factor. So yes, he does indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Worst crime possible.
It is. It absolutely is.
Horrible. I mean,
you can kill children, babies. That's kind of okay.
Dog.
But
no.
Dog, if you kill the dog, you are fucked. Genuinely.
You bastard.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Have you watched number four?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen it yet. I need to.
Yeah. I love the first three. Number four is it's starting to get, you know, with Die Hard. The first three Die Hard movies are great because John McClane gets beaten up, gets hurt. Yep. He becomes like indestructible in number four and number five. And it just, loses its charm. Same happens, I think, with John Wick 4.
Yeah.
It's like he falls out of like a fifth story window, smashes onto a VW camper, falls onto the ground, and then just gets up and does the Keanu Reeves like limp. And I'm thinking, no, come on.
No, I hate that. It's like you say, you need to be Bruce Willis levels of just disheveled.
Yeah,
you need
to look awful. And a complete mess. Yeah, yeah. They do this thing, and it's something like out of Naked Gun or an airplane movie where they go up these massive steps and he's shooting and fighting all these people. And he just gets to the top and then something happens and he falls all the way back down to the bottom again. And you think, you're fucking kidding me. We've got to go through all this again? I was really disappointed because I love the John Wick movies. They're just, again, they're total revenge movies that you just want him to kill everybody and you're happy with that. But it got really ridiculous and I was so disappointed with that. But yeah, he's got to be there. He's got to be in your top, at least top five of revenge movies. Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
If we're going off like cast as well, the cast's amazing as well. You know, I think if you're going for like, you know, big action set piece ensemble cast, I mean, it's perfect. You know, you've got Willem Dafoe's in there. You've got so I can never pronounce his name. John. You know who I mean. I can't say the surname.
Leguizamo.
Better than I could have done.
Thank you very much.
I'm not very good at pronouncing names.
Ian McShane is also is great as well. Yeah. It has to be there. Okay, my number five, I'm going back to another Mel Gibson revenge movie, and this is Payback.
Ooh, I haven't seen this one. Okay.
Have you not? Oh, my God.
No, tell me about it.
It is so good. So he's basically a criminal that does this job where they're going to rob some money with him, his mate, and his wife. I think it's his wife. Yeah, his wife. And his mate and his wife end up double-crossing him, leave him for dead. For about 130 grand or whatever it is. Yeah. So he ends up waking up after being patched together by somebody and decides, I'm going to go and get my revenge. I'm going to get my payback. I want my share of the money. All he wants is his share. He doesn't want a penny more. And he will end up going. So he goes and finds his wife as, I don't want to ruin it. Something happens to his wife. He's got this woman that used to drive around, that becomes a bit of a romantic partner for him. But it's the fact that he is, when he starts talking to people and they go, my God, you're going through all this for 130 grand. He said, no, 65 grand. That's what I want. That's all I want. That's, you know, and people keep saying, this is ridiculous for 130.
Stupid,
he's going 65. I don't want. And like James Coburn is in it. He's great in it. It's the fact that he is solely going. And if he said, because he goes up to this person and says, you know, I need to speak to the boss. And he goes, well, I'm the boss. And he's sort of like, well, after I kill you, there's got to be someone above you that can give me my money. I want my money. So he ends up taking on this whole sort of gangster crowd. And it's got a great ending. It's got a great sort of finish to the movie. It's Mel Gibson being his like charming best. Lucy Liu, isn't it?
So, I just love her.
There you go. It's right up your street. Brian Helgeland, who did A Knight's Tale and things like that, he directed it. And there's also a director's cut as well, which personally I don't think is as good as the original cut, like the theatrical cut. But if you've got, I think it's on, might be on Netflix or it might be on Amazon Prime. It's on one of the streaming services, but I would recommend it. It is a great, it's got a nice bit of, not comedy, but it's got some lighthearted moments, but Mel Gibson is just great. He's just fantastic in it. So I would recommend that one. Okay. Then your number four then, please, Lucy.
Number four is Dead Man's Shoes. Which I only saw a couple of years ago. But God, Shane Meadows, man, he's just so brutal. So brutal. Like, obviously, I'd seen This Is England and it was brilliant. And then my friend was like, Dead Man's Shoes. And it's, one of the most harrowing things you'll ever watch. I'm assuming you have seen it, right?
I've seen it. It didn't make my top 10, but it would be in my honourable mentions. And it kind of is. I think with the fact that when it's shot on film, it does make, it just looks grey and bleak. And desperate, and it always looks like it's raining, kind of like England in the 70s. Whenever you see England in the 70s, it always looks like it's just a shade of grey. Everything's a shade of grey and just desolate. And but Paddy Considine is just fantastic in it. He's just so good.
You know, he is such a good actor. Like, I'll get back onto the film in a minute, but, like, have you seen House of the Dragon?
I saw the first four or five episodes and I didn't sort of carry on with it. My wife did and said it was, like, really, really good.
Yeah, but I feel like his character really stood out to me. He was so great in it. Like, I'd never seen him in fantasy before and I was like, wow, shit, he's just great. And then, obviously, Hot Fuzz. I just feel like his range is just insane. So, like, doing something like this, like, I know this came before all that, but obviously me coming into it quite late, I was like, holy shit, like, he's genuinely quite unnerving in Dead Man's Shoes.
Yes.
Very, like, oh my God, like, but it's just so compelling to watch, do you know what I mean?
Well, the scene that I put in the little clips where, you know, you're fucking there, mate, you know, he looks like someone that is just two more wind-ups and he's just going to be a psychopath. He's just going to go off on one. You know, he's going to go postal. And that's that scene there where, like, the heavies are coming up to him and sort of like thinking they're going to threaten him. And he's just there, I'm ready for you. I was that close to slitting your throat. So don't think that you're going to come for me because I'm going to come for you. You know, I'm just waiting for you. And that's what you mean. It's that cold, calculating, with just a little something simmering in the background is just, it's just so unnerving.
It's got everything though. It's got, like, writing on walls and someone's blood, you know, like, it's just brilliant. Peak unhinged. It's like, it's a bit like, I know it's slightly different, but like in a Die Hard when he writes on his jumper, now I've got a machine gun.
Yeah.
Same vibes, right? Like, it's sort of like just taunting people, you know, it's very, very good.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, it would have been probably my number 11, but it just didn't quite make my, top 10.
Again, like, you know, no spoilers and whatever, but like, it's probably the slowest one in terms of pacing on my list.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth, like, hanging in there and just waiting for, because it is very, very good.
Well, I think sometimes, especially I think revenge movies, they're good when they simmer.
Yeah.
You know, whereas you got things like, I mean, like John Wick, I suppose, simmers for about 10 minutes. You know, before the dog dies, and then everything after that is just batshit crazy. But but that one, has a definite simmer to it, but it pays off without a shadow of a doubt. Yep. Okay, so my number four was John Wick. So we're back to you for your number three.
This is my off the wall one, and you're probably going to laugh at me when I tell you this. So my number three is Carrie.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah, I can see that.
So me injecting my love of horror into this podcast again, obviously Carrie tells a story of a very, very sheltered girl who, you know, horrific religious upbringing to the point where, like, she's so repressed, doesn't know anything about herself. You know, her mother kept everything from her, including, like, a period. Like, she doesn't even have basic education. So she is relentlessly bullied. And obviously, you know, she learns that she has these powers. And obviously it does simmer. And then you get to the school scene, and the school scene is when the revenge comes in for me. Because it's just this way of just unleashing all this rage at the people who have humiliated you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's that scene in particular made me think, this is revenge,
That's with the pig's blood over going all over, and
it's just, she just snaps.
Have you seen the remake of that?
I
never saw it. Was it good?
It was fine. I mean, Julianne Moore and Chloe Grace Moretz did a good job, but I think Sissy Spacek is Carrie to me.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and this is no disrespect to Sissy at all, but she does have a very unique look to her. And in the novel, Carrie is described as being unconventional looking, so I just think the casting was perfect,
right?
Because she's supposed to stand out.
Yeah.
Whereas Chloe Grace Moretz is kind of classically beautiful Hollywood, unfortunately. So for me, it was more real having someone who looks a bit more unconventional. Like, I sound awful saying that, but you know what I mean. Like, she has very distinct features.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
And I could see why dickheads would bully her. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of, and I think, for a role like Carrie, you need to have that isolated, weedy sort of character. So the 70s Brian De Palma one is just, it's just, nothing could ever beat that for me.
Yeah.
Too good.
I mean, that definitely makes sense. It's interesting that it's that high up, but then you're a horror girl, aren't you? So
yeah,
I kind of feel like you wanted to represent that
higher
up in the top 10.
it's definitely one that people will probably listen and go, what is she on about? But
no, I totally see it. And I noticed on a lot of the things that said top 50 revenge movies, Carrie was in pretty much all of them.
Yeah, and I think for me as well, like, I won't bang on about it too much, but I do think that Carrie is a very unexpected kind of, we don't really want to call her a villain, do you? But she's done quite villainous things. Like the wronged person, you know, like someone like John Wick or the Equalizer or something is quite this like cool, you know, whatever. Carrie is pathetic.
She is, but don't you feel that people, when you watch the movie, people are in her corner? When
100%.
When it gets to that point where she's got blood all over her, you want her to go and exact that revenge.
Yeah, and it's just that the power that suddenly comes out is incredible, and obviously how she kills her mother as well, like, it's all very good.
A good one. Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, my number three was The Equalizer. So we're back to you for your number two.
Hey, number two, I really hope you've seen this because I love, love, love this film, Upgrade.
Ooh, okay. I don't know whether I have.
Okay, so Upgrade is Lee Winnell of Saw fame. So he was in the first Saw film as Adam back in 2004. And this is he directed this film. It's set in the near future, where a technophobe who doesn't really want to embrace technology ends up losing his wife in an automated like car crash. And you find out it's kind of all been orchestrated, and she was, you know, people wanted to kill her. Anyway, he was also in this car and got kind of disfigured and disabled and had to rely on technology to kind of live. But then he realizes that the technology gives him strength and he can exact revenge with this sort of AI almost in him. It's very futuristic, quite hard to explain. very, very good. Again, I don't really want to go too much into it, but it's about sort of, you know, love of your life dies and you just go on a rampage, basically.
I just seen on IMDb, they're showing like the trailer of it, and you can see the way that he's moving and the way that they shoot it when he's fighting.
Good.
It's sort of like jump cut kind of stuff. So that looks intriguing. Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, so it's an underrated gem. I mean, it's got, you know, it's good. It's a dystopia film. It's got AI in there. It's got all these things that are kind of in vogue at the minute.
I'm gonna have to search this one out because it does look like it could be a lot of fun. Is it quite gruesome, is it?
Not really. I mean, it's violent.
Yeah.
It has a few moments where you're like, ooh, but it's not like massively, massively bloody, you know? It's a 15, it's not like too crazy. Yeah. It's just a lot of punching people, basically. But it's great. And I think again, we're not going to ruin it for you, but the ending of this is very, very good and satisfying.
Good.
And it's very iconic.
Good
thing.
Because the thing is, especially with revenge movies, if the ending isn't, because there's some times when I can't watch a movie because I don't want to go through that whole feeling bad until you get to the end, because things like whether there's somebody nasty in the movie that I just don't like watching or something. It's hard to explain. But when you know at the end of it that you're going to be satisfied, it kind of makes it easier to watch the movie because at least there's going to be the people that need to get their comeuppance will get their comeuppance. Uh-huh. And that's a key for me. But no, I'll add that one to my list. Okay,
it's upgrade. So good. It's so good. Yeah.
Okay. My number two, excuse me, is Gladiator.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Again, it's as much as you've got the spectacle of the gladiator and the Colosseum and the history of Rome and Romans, it is basically intrinsically down to the bone a revenge movie, which is what Russell Crowe, his character, ends up having his wife and child killed. So he decides that he wants to just be in front of it's not Maximus, that's his name, isn't it? Is it Commodus? Oh, Christ, see his names. I just know. But anyway, Joaquin Phoenix's character, he just wants to be in front of him so that he can kill him. Yeah. And again, this is a movie. How old is this movie? Like 2001, it's probably 20, over 20 years old now. And he does get to do that at the end. And he also gets to go back to his wife and his child because he dies. Yeah. But it's one of my, it's again, another classic movie. Perfect movie. I don't know whether you're a fan of Gladiator at all.
I've seen it, but yeah, I mean, I can't recall the last time I saw it, but I do think it's one of those where it's like 1,000 films to watch before you die. It's on there.
Yeah.
You gotta do it. You gotta watch it at least once.
And it's mad to think that they pretty much filmed a lot of that movie without a finished script. They were writing it as they were doing it. It's ridiculous, but won loads of Oscars and it was a massive success. So that's my number two. Okay, before we reveal our number ones, Lucy, if you want to give us a rundown from your 10 to 2, and I'll do the same.
Okay, so number 10 was The Equalizer. Number 9 was Revenge. Number 8, Hard Candy. Number 7, Kill Bill Volume 1. Number 6, Gone Girl. Number 5, John Wick. Number 4, Dead Man's Shoes. Number 3, Carrie. And number 2 was Upgrade.
Thank you. And mine was number 10, Braveheart. 9, Memento. 8, Leon. 7, The Prestige. 6, Old Boy. I just realised. Oh, well, no, I won't say anything. 5, Payback. 4, John Wick. 3, The Equalizer. And 2, Gladiator. So, Lucy, what is your number one revenge movie?
It's Old Boy.
I was just about to say. I've just realised you haven't got Old Boy in your top 10.
Oh, do you know what? It's so funny when you were talking about it, because I'm like, God damn it. It's my number one. Yeah. Oh, what else can we say about it?
I know. It should be higher in my top 10. Mm. I feel it should be.
I mean, like I said to you earlier, just in terms of how much it literally floored me. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And I think anybody wanting to try out Korean cinema should absolutely start with Old Boy. It's absolutely brilliant.
Because that was the first Korean movie. And I know that it's got like, is it part of a trilogy? Is it that Lady Vengeance and...
Yeah, you've got Lady Vengeance and... Oh, yes. I know what you mean. Because I haven't seen those yet.
Sympathy for Lady Vengeance and Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance.
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah. Because Neil has said, you need to watch the other ones as well. You need to watch the other ones.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, we've said so much about it and on this episode
so
now,
good.
But I would just go and watch it if you want to go and watch it. Yeah. Okay, so I've cheated a little bit for my number one because I couldn't separate these two. You had one of them at number 7, but I'm going for Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2.
Great.
Because it is the whole thing. Both movies are just 100% revenge. And I don't think you can have one without having the other, because she doesn't exact the full amount of revenge until you get both movies. Because until she actually kills Bill at the end of number 2. And again, anybody that has listened to the podcast, the amount of times that I say that Tarantino is my favorite director, he was my number one director in the top 10 directors that we did a couple of weeks ago. The man can't do any wrong in my eyes. And as much as some people sort of say that this that Kill Bill Volume 1 or Volume 2 has great bits and some not so great bits, I just think that there's not a bad scene in any of the movies. I just love every single second. And again, Neil and I have said a million times, if only we could watch The Whole Bloody Affair, which is the two movies that he edited together to make one movie.
I was just going to say that I would love to watch it in its full entirety, like director's cut. Like, spend a whole bloody day watching it. I don't care, you know. Like
he was going to release it into the cinema. It was called The Whole Bloody Affair. He edited both films so that it would be just one film.
And I thought that was just you being British, but that's actually the name of it.
Yeah, no, that's what it was called. The Whole Bloody Affair.
Cool.
It's never shown the light of day. Whether he's actually has done it and just not bothered releasing it, or whether he hasn't even got round to editing it, I don't know. But yeah, it was the first one on my list, and I thought, am I going to be cheeky to have Volume 1 and Volume 2 at number 1? And I thought, bollocks, yeah, I'm just going to do it.
Is that your favourite Tarantino, or do you have a one you like more than that?
You know what? It probably...
It's a big question.
It is a big question, because I don't think I can rank the Tarantino movies. Because every single one of them, I love the way he writes, I love the way he directs, and I don't know. It probably is. As a one and two, it probably is. But I mean, Pulp Fiction and just The Hateful Eight. I'm just going to start listing Tarantino movies, which is redundant for anything. But probably is, yeah. probably is.
Nice.
Okay, we've got a couple of honourable mentions. At Eamon Griffin said, Once Upon a Time in the West. That's a great movie. Ashley Raphael said, Old Boy. Stuart Turvey said, Jaws the Revenge. And then he put not. Stu Grant said, Old Boy, Sympathy for Lady Vengeance and Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance. Everything else pales in comparison. Kim Mendez said, Man on Fire. I love me some Denzel. And at Who Takes Socks Off, Payback. What a fucking awesome film. And you're absolutely right about that.
Mm.
Well, there we go, Lucy. We've done it.
We have.
We've done it. I mean, I was going to say that this isn't quite as dark as the normal ones, but I think they're pretty dark.
Oh, I brought some darkness into the podcast again.
Yes, always, always.
Always.
Always. So what have you got going? What have you got? Anything interesting going on?
Yeah, so I've just recorded a podcast yesterday for Horror Hangout, which is about The Strangers, a home invasion film, which is one of my favourites. So that's coming out very soon. And then obviously you're my second podcast of the year. That's
Yay.
Quite nice. Tomorrow I am seeing Dune Part 2.
Wow.
Very excited. Yeah, so that's going to be a long, long film. But
it does sound like it's getting some good. Some nice buzz, saying that it's like generational and things like that. So
very excited. And yeah, just plodding on with work and stuff, really, yeah.
Excellent. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast?
I had one in lockdown, but then I stopped.
Oh, did you? Oh, right. It just got too busy.
It's a lot of work. I admire the work you guys put in because it's a big commitment. It's a lot.
It sure is. It sure is. Well,
and you have more technical skills than I do. So.
Oh no, it's all show. Honestly, I just turn everything on and hope it works. That's basically my skill set. Okay, so before we actually say proper goodbyes, just to let everybody know, if you go on the show notes, all the social media links and everything there, email us if you want to get in touch with us, top10pods@hotmail.com. On Patreon, if you want to be sat where Lucy is, I mean, not in her house, obviously, I'm talking about
on the part,
you go to Lucy's house, use her internet and her and her webcam and come and be a guest on the pod. Just go to Patreon. All of our top subscribers, if you want to, you don't have to, but if you want to, you can come and be a guest on the podcast, like so many top heads have been. Just go to patreon.com/top10pods. Loads of other great rewards. You even get a little cool badge if you want to sign up as a top level as well. All the episode links, merch, Linktree, if you want to buy us a coffee, it's all in the show notes. And just click on it. That's all you got to do. So, Lucy, we'll make sure that it's not 14 months the next time you come on the pod.
Yes.
And we'll just find something else that's dark that we need to do.
Yeah. Or just completely flip the script and put me on for rom-coms or something. Who knows?
I'll tell you what, that actually isn't a bad idea because I would love to see how you get a horror film. I mean, I suppose Shaun of the Dead is a rom-com, isn't it?
I'll find a way.
We might pencil you in for rom-coms. That'd be really fun. But Lucy, thank you ever so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody else, for watching and listening. And let's go start the countdown.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.